Yeah. My name is Danny, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon. Good evening, family. First thing I want to say is I want to apologize to each and every one of you. If I do offend you or say something that hurts you, that is not my intention. That is not my purpose. So I do apologize if I offend you. If you do get offended, though, talk to your sponsor about it. And I say that because when I came into these rooms, it was strongly recommended, encouraged, and suggested that I get a sponsor. And with that sponsor, I call that sponsor. And with the sponsor, I work the steps. I go to meetings, I read literature, and I do service. Is that what has given me my life? It's what's given me a relationship with my family, with my friends, but most of all, a relationship with myself. Because when I came in here, you could ask me, what do I want? What do I need? What do I feel? And I can tell you everything about the woman I was in a relationship with, what she wanted, what she felt, what she needed, but I had no idea. I was completely lost. I had no idea who I was. I didn't know what I wanted and what I needed. And so one day at a time was how this program was my life. And to be very simple, I got into this program for selfish reasons because I wanted to fix the relationship I was in. I didn't care about myself. Again, it was focusing on that, fixing that. And still to this day, even being in this program for almost 9 years, I still have character defects. I still act out on character defects. As my sponsor legend puts it, when he came into this program, he's this much of an asshole. And after 35 years, he's this much of an asshole. And they follow his shoes. Because the truth is that when I came into these rooms, I didn't change. I'm changing, but all those character defects don't magically just disappear. They don't magically just go away. The beautiful thing, though, is that with having a sponsor, with going into meetings, with working the steps, with reading the literature, with the service, I get perspective. I get the ability to see, oh, I'm acting out here. Or if I'm not, I call my sponsor, who lovingly tells me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. And if I don't like what I have to say, I give my parents a partner to cover, and they give us some bullshit every time. And it's just simple things that I get the awareness of, simple things that I get the perspective of. And for me to be current, this year started out very, very rough for me. And I say that because one weekend I got let go of my job via text that I'd been in for 10 years. And that was a rough text to read, to say the least. Because I thought my entitlement issue said that you could have at least dropped me in and said, you know, you no longer want to hear me, no longer need your service. But I got let go via text. Anyway, it's one of those things that I'm nervous for, one of those things I can't do anything about. And before I continue any further, I want to welcome the newcomer. And if there's any newcomers on Zoom, truly welcome. This is a wonderful program. It continues to give to me so long as I stay vigilant in it. And the way I stay vigilant is by calling my sponsor, working some steps, reading the literature, going to meetings, and being at service. And it's very simple. Recipe. Very, very simple. I just do not follow it sometimes. Because I'm a controlling person. I like to control things. If everything lined up perfectly how I wanted, if I went into work and everyone did what I wanted them to do, my life would be perfect. If driving to work, people didn't cut me off in California, it'd be perfect. If I didn't have to fill my car or gas at $5 or more a gallon, life would be perfect. But there's this wonderful thing about life, and it's called unpredictability. I can't do anything about it. I'm powerless over it. But what I can do is I can take the tools from this program and I can apply it to my life. I can apply it to these unpredictable situations that pop up. And I see what part do I have in it? What part am I playing? And what am I getting upset about? And if I don't have that clarity, if I don't have that realization, then what I get to do is I get outside help. I get to call my sponsor and give you some clarity. If my sponsor is available, I can call sponsors for others. I can call other people in the program. I have this great Al-Anon tool belt, but it's available. So I have to stop thinking up here and just reach on the belt and start grabbing tools and use them. So it comes down to, what do I have to do? And that's what I love about this program is just, my sponsor makes it so, so simple. And it continues to be simple. As long as I'm staying plugged in, as long as I'm working in. And going back to how simple this program is and how my sponsor tells me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear, Very early on, I was complaining about anything and everything outside of himself. So he said, take a trip to Toys R Us with me when you get there. Okay. Went to Toys R Us when it was still open, and he said, you know what? Find a hula hoop and put it around yourself. Everything in that hula hoop is what matters. And that has been very simple. As long as I stay within my hula hoop, life is okay. Everything works out. But I can be crazy. I can try to control things. And that's when I pick my hula hoop and I look around one person, two people, three people, and there's four of us all within this hula hoop. They're not aware of it, but they're all taking up space in my life. They're all taking up issues. I'm trying to think of how can I get my qualifiers to stop qualifying myself? How can I get my brother to fix his retirement account? How can I get my girlfriend to do this? How can I get my coworkers to do that? And it's like, what happened to Danny? I got lost again. Completely trying to take care of everyone, solve everyone else's issues, and ignoring myself. And what I love about this program is I just have to focus on myself. I have to do what's best for me. It sounds selfish, but the truth is no one else is going to take care of me the way I take care of myself. And it's just one day at a time is all I can do. Do I do it perfectly? No. It took me 5 years of hard work to realize that I'm a human being, but I still try to be perfect. Because I like to be perfect. It's what was beat into me growing up. I needed to do everything perfectly, cross all my T's, dot all my I's, get perfect grades, but I was a rebellious person. I still am today. I can rebel very quickly and very easily. And I like rebelling because it gets a reaction out of people. And that's a character defect that I get to be aware of. And I don't have to be that way today. Today I can take things, again, one day at a time. Today I can look at outside issues and realize, can I control it? Or am I trying to exert control over it? Is it my will or is it my higher power's will? And just being able to let go of things and realize I don't have to control it is such a blessing. Because honestly, there's not all that much I can control in the world today. Like, I like to think I can control my car, but sometimes it doesn't start. So what I control is when I wake up, I try. But again, I'm a human, I have shortcomings, I don't do it perfectly. I try to read a morning Al-Anon literature or meditation. I try to text my sponsee family or call my sponsor. I try to pray. I try to meditate. But there's some days where I wake up and I just go straight to the coffee, go to the car, and go to my work. And again, it's being human. But the thing is, when I wake up and read that morning meditation, when I wake up and text sponsee brothers, those days are a lot easier for me. They're a lot smoother because my brain is focusing on this program and not focusing on how can Danny control anything and everything around me. And again, it comes back to me staying inside my hula hoop, me taking care of myself. And I like to think of calling my sponsor as brushing my teeth. As long as I do it every day, people around me don't suffer. And then doing step work is kind of like taking a shower. I can go a couple of days without taking a shower. But go a week or two, and again, people around me start to get affected. And it's just these simple things that I need to remember. And my perfectionism is, oh, well, with the step work, you've got to answer all the questions, otherwise you failed. But the truth is that I can just answer one question. And that's staying plugged in. That's keeping the focus on myself. That's just doing what I need to do in that moment. And sorry, I'll get the timer going. Don't go over. And it's just being able to give my mind something to focus on that this program has given to me, rather than focusing on the alcoholics, rather than focusing on how have I been affected. And it's so beautiful because, you know, my sponsor and I were doing some step work now, and I had no idea that every single member of my family on my dad's side and my mom's side drinks until I wrote it all down in paper. Wow, I've been affected by alcoholism. I didn't even realize it. But the thing is that I'm also in denial about it, even with 8.5 years, almost 9 years in this program, working the steps 4 times, calling my sponsor as much as possible, going to meetings, being of service, working the steps, reading the literature. I'm still in denial about my parents being alcoholics. Even though I see them get a bottle of wine and pour glass after glass after glass after glass. But the truth is, I'm not trying to figure it out. Because it's not for me to understand. Things have happened in my life that I don't try to understand. I don't try to figure out because it makes my life simpler. Don't get me wrong. I love to pull things apart, dissect it. How does it work? When something breaks in mine, I pull it apart and to see how does this work? Where are the connections? Because I like doing those things. But there's some things in my life I'm not meant to figure out. And I'm learning more and more that it's okay to just let go of that. Or I can focus on it, obsess about it, and then it takes up my day. And it takes up my time in something that I focus on. And right now where I'm at in life, going back to the start of this year, I got fired one weekend. Friday the 13th of all days, I got COVID. And I hadn't gotten it previously. I was fine. It didn't enter my lungs gracefully, didn't enter my lungs. And I'm here today. And it was about a week of just having no energy. I would walk from here to the entrance, just be completely out of energy. A month later, what ended up happening is I had to go to the emergency room a Tuesday, a Thursday, and a Saturday because of a massive headache that I had gotten. And I had no idea what was causing it. The doctors had no idea what they were causing it. They did an MRI, CT scan, blood work. I think they took enough blood to make another Danny and a half, but they were doing all these tests. Tuesday, originally when I went in for the massive headache, the worst headache of my life, that's when they did the MRI and all the blood work, pumped me full of drugs and said, go on your way. Well, Wednesday, the headache came back, wasn't going away. Thursday, I went in, they did spinal puncture, and just because they wanted to make sure it wasn't meningitis. And just all these things happened. And then finally, Saturday, when I went in, they realized when they did the spinal puncture that they proliferated the spinal column or something weird, and the fluid was draining out, which was causing the headache to continue. Long story short, I had to lie on a bed on my back for 3 hours, and I couldn't get to my phone because I had an IV in my arm. And for those 3 hours, and of course, I get in the one emergency room that doesn't have a TV working. So if you want to practice meditation, lie on your back for 3 hours and don't turn on the TV and don't use your phone. But what was crazy about this whole week-long process of going into the emergency room every other day, I was at peace. I was okay. It sucked. The pain wasn't fun, but I had this overwhelming and kind of like under the surface feeling of everything's going to work out exactly how it needs to work out. And when I was on that hospital bed for 3 hours, I was just sitting there getting a better connection with my higher power. And I also got to hear a lot about the hospital staff and the latest gossip there, but it would bounce between. And it's just because of this program, you know, my sponsor was worried, my sponsee brothers were worried, my parents were worried, my girlfriend was worried, everyone was losing their mind, not knowing what was going on with me. But I had this just, everything's going to be okay. And it was the strangest thing for me to just have that feeling amongst this chaos, amongst this craziness. And to top it off, right now, what I'm currently doing is I'm studying for the DAT, which is the dental admission test. It's like the MCAT for nurses. It's a very easy 6-hour test that I get to take. And I say that sarcastically. It's one of my character defects. And originally I wanted to take it Sunday, the 21st, but because of this program, I realized my pride and ego wanted me to take it by that day, and I wasn't ready. And because I set my pride and ego aside, I had to push it back a month, so I'm still currently studying to take it. And this is because of my sponsor. This is because of working steps. This is because of reading literature, going to meetings, being in service, that I realized my pride and ego wanted to take it that day so I could hit all my submissions and hit all my submissions to all the dental schools on the first day. Because again, perfectionism, pride, ego. And realizing I wasn't ready, pushing it back a month, just brought, again, that sense of peace, that sense of happiness, that sense of when I was working my steps and realized I'm trying to control everyone and everything that I really can't control and just being able to step back and let go of it. It's like trying to control someone, and I just focus more and more on them and just try to hold them tighter and tighter and tighter in my hand. And all it's doing is causing me pain. It's causing me discomfort. And what's funny about my qualifiers is they're going to keep doing exactly what they do, and they do it really well, despite what I do. And when I try to control them, I'm the one who looks crazy. When I try to fix them, when I try to help them, they're the ones who think I'm the crazy one. But when I plug into my program, when I'm calling my sponsor, when I'm working steps, when I'm reading the literature, when I'm going to meetings, when I'm being of service, I focus on me. And it's so funny because, again, my pride and my ego will kick in. When I'm at a family function, the first hour to 3 hours is great. Everyone remembers what we're talking about. Everyone knows what we're talking about, having great conversations. But then at that one mark, that switch gets flipped. And some people aren't the same people anymore.
And I'm learning that I can't talk to them at that time. I don't want to because it makes me uncomfortable. And I'm okay with that. There's times where I was at a family gathering and I just was getting more and more uncomfortable with the way things were going. And I just stepped outside. My ego, my pride was saying, oh, when you walk in, everyone's going to stop talking and just stare at you. Because that's my fear. That's my ego. That's my pride. That's thinking of how important I am to this whole family dynamic. But the truth is, I stepped outside, called my sponsor, reasoned things out, got some feedback, went back in and no one even realized I left. When I got fired, the first thing I did was grab my dog collar, grab my dog, went for a walk and called my sponsor. Reasoned things out. Because the old Danny would have texted back really quickly and said a couple four-letter words to that person. But I don't want to try and be that person today because then I have to make an amends. And so as my sponsor puts it, anytime he gets caught up in old character defects, if he's going to cuss someone out, he does it really, really good because he's going to make an amends anyway. But again, it's just these small tools on my belt that I can pick up and that I can use and that I can apply to my life if I want to. If I go to meetings, I can be Danny. I don't have to be Danny thinking five sentences ahead of, if I say this one thing, how is it going to be manipulated five different ways and come back to me? I can just be Danny. And whether it be a meeting that I've never been to before, but I'm home. I feel at home. I feel at peace. I feel relaxed. I don't have 20 pounds of body armor that I got to wear around my family and clang around awkwardly. The second I walk through an Al-Anon door or go on a Hollywood Square Zoom meeting, all that armor just drops off. I don't have to defend myself. I can say honestly what's going on in my life. I can say what I'm dealing with, and I can just let things go. And what I love so much is that my sponsor has been in 12-step programs longer than I've been alive. To the person celebrating the 35-year celebration in Al-Anon, you've been in recovery longer than I've been alive. And so what that tells me is two things. One, that might be me one day, if my higher power sees fit. And two, I have to keep coming back for at least 35 years, at least, before I think I got this. You know, I graduated from college, but I have yet to see an Al-Anon graduation ceremony, unless it's like a 10-year thing. So I got to come back for another year and a half, and then I'll find out, and I'll update you if something changes. But what I love is that, you know, to the newcomer, there's no Al-Anon police. There's no Al-Anon qualifications. There's no one who's going to wait in the back when you leave and say, okay, well, who's your qualifier? Are they still drinking? Blah, blah. No. We're just here to help each other. I'm just here to be Danny. I'm just here to realize that the problems and the issues that I face, I don't have to face alone. I don't have to deal with alone. And the greatest feedback, the greatest love, the greatest compassion is in an Al-Anon meeting, is with calling my sponsor and establishing a great relationship over these past wonderful 9 years, being able to call him and just be butt naked honest and say, I didn't call you yesterday because I was busy watching Netflix. He says, oh, okay, cool. Because the truth is, we're at a point where he doesn't have to suffer the consequences I do. I can make whatever choice I want. If I don't want to call him for a week, that's fine, because I'm the one who ends up suffering. And every time I call him after the week, week and a half, or month that I haven't called, he says, how was it out in the wilderness? How are you feeling? You ready to do some step work? I'm like, yeah. Because again, I'm in that pain. And pain is a great, great motivator in this program. Believe me, when I'm doubled over in pain, I'm ready to go to meetings. I'm ready to call my sponsor. I'm ready to work steps and just read the literature and be a service. Because I'm in pain and I want to get that pain to go away. What the great thing is that right now my sponsor, a couple sponsee brothers, myself, and then some other friends of mine, we're all working the steps vigilantly to the best of our ability when we're not in pain, just to see what happens. Because 2 years ago, I'd only start working steps when I was in pain. I would only start working steps when something was going on in my life. I was only working steps when I wanted something to change, or I'd gotten out of a relationship, or there was some pain or something I was trying to control. But right now, I'm just working steps just to see what happens. And the beautiful thing is that this year, after working with my sponsor for 8 years, he came up to me and said, there's an issue that keeps reoccurring and popping up, and I suggest you go to therapy. And for me, being a man, having this ego, having this pride, it went in one ear and right out the other, because I didn't want to hear it. I wasn't open-minded to it. I wasn't ready to hear that. And again, this issue kept popping up because now he brought it to my attention is in that denial cloak that I had wrapped around me had been ripped away. So all these feelings are coming up and all these past issues that kept popping up, I'm suddenly becoming aware of, and I had to get there. And I've been going to therapy now for, I think, 2.5 months. And the truth is that old ego and pride again says you don't need it. That old destructive things that were beat into me say you don't need this. You can just be a man, grit your teeth, and get through it. And that's what I grew up with. You know, my dad is the oldest of four brothers. There's me and my brother, and then we got 7 younger male cousins. We don't talk about feelings. We don't have feelings. If someone dies, you get to cry for 3 minutes, suck it up, and move on. That's just how my family is. But I don't have to be that way. And I remember growing up, because of the step work I've done, that we would be watching a movie with my mom. She would start crying, and my dad, myself, and my brother would all jump on her and laugh at her and make fun of her. And I don't have to do that today. I try not to do that today. Today, I try to honor my feelings. I can watch the car movies and start bawling like a baby and say, I'm fine with that. Because I have some repressed feelings that I got to just let out. I have some baggage that I'm still carrying with me. And my sponsor lovingly points out, I got 26 years of messed up thinking and 8 years of in a program. The odds aren't in my favor, but the ratio is getting better. And the other thing I love is that when I first came into these rooms, someone who'd been in for a while said, every year you get an Al-Anon is 1 second you get before you respond. And that stuck with me. Because right now I'm at 8 seconds. And 8 seconds can be a very long time, and 8 seconds can be a very short time. If you put your hand on a hot stove for 8 seconds, that's going to really be painful. But the truth is that today, as we lovingly put it in this program, I don't have to get in the gorilla cage. It takes me 8 seconds to get that key, look at that key, put it in the lock, and turn it before I get in that gorilla cage. And sometimes it takes a long time for those 8 seconds in that lock to click. Other times, I'm in there before the 8 seconds is up. Hi, gorilla, how are we doing today? Trying to convince the gorilla it's not a gorilla. Trying to convince my qualifiers that I don't have a problem. And it's funny, when I first came into this program, my dad still doesn't understand it. He doesn't get it, and that's okay. That's his issue. That's his problem. He's not in my hula hoop. It's my hula hoop. My mom thought I joined Cole. That's okay. Because today, before this program, everything I did, all my character defects, all my control would affect my family, would affect the people I care about. But today, my recovery, the work I'm doing in Al-Anon, also affects my family. Today, when my dad goes off and does whatever crazy things, my mom would be like, what's he doing? Where is he going? Why is he doing that? And I just sit there like, I don't know, I don't care. And today she does that sometimes. And I never realized that. The blessings of this program go so far for me. And it's such a blessing to see that, you know, I've had people in my family come up and say, you've changed. Why have you changed? I said, well, start doing 12-step programs. And that's it. Program of attraction, not promotion. That doesn't mean I didn't try it. Doesn't mean I didn't go to meetings and get the pamphlets and get the books and leave it on the family room and the table and the coffee table by the coffee machine. But again, that's me trying to control things, me trying to make them change, me trying to do things that and exert power where I really have none. And I get to see that today. I get that perspective today. I get that awareness today. And if I don't have it, I call my sponsor, because my sponsor always points things out that I don't see. My sponsor points out things that I'm not aware of, and I'm so grateful for that. And what I love about my sponsor the most is going back to tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. And he keeps me in my hula hoop, because when I'm driving to work sometimes, you know, there's a nice car on my right, a nice car on my left. And I'm like, dang, that'd be really nice to have. So I call my sponsor about it. I'm like, I want a nice car. It's like, take the bus for a week. No, my car's fine. And again, I have to stay in my hula hoop. And another thing my wonderful sponsor says is anytime I compete with anyone else, I lose. Again, staying in my hula hoop. I don't have to compete with my sponsee brothers. I don't have to look at how many years do they have, how many steps have they worked, where that in the step work, how many meetings do they go to. I have to focus on, did I call my sponsor today? Yes. Did I read morning meditation today? Yes. Did I do step work today? No. Okay. So when I get home, guess what I'm doing? check that out. Because it's just a simple, simple program for me, but I complicate it. Because I want to take that control back. I want to think, oh, okay, I understand this, I got this, it's fine. But it's not, because anytime I try to control something, that always blows up in my face every single time, guaranteed. Sometimes it happens right away and I get that awareness, other times it takes a little bit. And it's just, it's such a simple program that I'm so grateful for. It's such a simple thing to do. And it's like working the steps. I've heard people say, oh, just wait till the fourth step. Oh, just wait till the ninth step. Oh, just wait till this, who cares? For me, all I have to do is look at that question that's in front of me. I write a letter becomes a word becomes a sentence, and that sentence sometimes becomes a paragraph. And as long as I just keep doing the work, as long as I keep doing one step in front of the other, as long as I keep calling my sponsor, as long as I keep reading the literature, as long as I keep working the steps, going to meetings and being a service, I'm going to keep getting better one day at a time. And there's some days where I just go off the rails and I'm crazy. You guys caught me on a good night. Tomorrow, I don't know. But the truth is that that's tomorrow's problem. The problems I have right now are what's in front of me. The problems I can deal with is what's in front of me. With the past, I can learn from it. I can make amends if I hurt someone. And I can just work to not make the same mistakes. But again, I'm a human being. I'm going to fall short. I'm going to try and expand my hula hoop. I'm going to try and control things that I can't control. But that's okay, because again, I have that awareness, I have that perspective. So it's just the simplicity of this program I truly, truly love. The ability to walk into an Al-Anon meeting and feel at home, I love. The ability to work some steps and see where my character defects are, see where I'm trying to control things, know that my life is in the hand of a higher power that loves and cares for me, knowing that I can do a 10th step and do a daily inventory at the end of the day and see who I hurt, who I wronged, or did I have a good day. And one of the loving things that my sponsor and I say, and we're firm believers of the steps, don't get me wrong, but we like to have fun every once and again, because 10th step is take a daily inventory, and when you're wrong, probably admitted it. But we changed it to when we're right, admit it as well. Because I don't always have to beat myself up. Because for 26 years, I beat myself up. For 26 years, I was trying to be perfect and beat myself up for falling short. Nine, I could have a list of 10 things I wanted to do, get 9 out of 10 things done, and beat myself up for the one. But today I can look at, oh, I only got 1 out of 10 things done, and that's okay. Because I did something. And something can be as simple as calling my sponsor. Something can be as simple as starting my morning with a morning meditation. It can be something as simple as reading the literature, going to a meeting, working some steps, and being a service. So again, simplicity for me, I try to keep it simple. I try to keep it one day at a time. That doesn't mean I've been obsessing about the 21st deadline that's coming up for my giant test. But again, that's where my perfectionism pops up and says, oh, you had to do all this today, you didn't do it all, but that's okay. Because I'm doing it to the best of my ability, one day at a time, and that's all I got. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for being a part of the Al-Anon family with me. I appreciate you all. Thank you.